You're listening to KLCC, it's 9:02. And to start off the Ahora Sí program here in the Por Qué No Youth Music segment, we have an amazing interview lined up for you. So we'll go ahead and have our guest introduce himself.
Hey, how you doing? Hi. yeah, thank you for letting me be here, Jill.
Of course.
Yeah. Do I say my name and all that stuff?
Yep. Yes. Name, a little bit about yourself. Okay. What brings you in tonight?
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm Jason Floyd, student success navigator with Lane ESD. And I am in tonight to talk with you, the wonderful you, about the conference that we have coming up April 27th at LCC called State of Emergency. Yeah. And so... This is really just a great opportunity, this conference is, and this show to talk about it. But this conference is a great opportunity for the community to come together and deal with some of the issues that have been plaguing schools and just the community at large for as long as the community has existed, really. So, yeah. So
you're working with Lane ESD to put this conference on, and tell us a little bit more before we go into the details of the conference. What is it that you do? What are, you know, for folks listening, right, where might they see your face? How can they get involved? What kind of programming do you provide? So I'm assuming since it's Lane ESD for the youth in our community.
Absolutely. Yeah. This position that I have is a new innovative position, pretty experimental, but full of hope about it because it's really trying to address some really big issues. But of course, with Lane ESD, it is for all of Lane County, which is 16 school districts. So that's quite a few schools. And the name of the grant that sponsors my position is the African American Black Student Success Plan Grant, which has made an extra long name so that I stay on my P's and Q's. But yeah, and I'm the Student Success Navigator, one of the two Student Success Navigators on the grant. My partner, Leela Ross, she takes care of most of the rural districts, and I'm focused more here in 4J, Bethel, and Springfield. There is some overlap. We help wherever we can. But so the position is pretty expansive, just like the grant. The point of it is to address House Bill 2016's legislation, which states that Oregon schools, according to the data, have always underserved African-American students. And so that's essentially unacceptable. And the language within the legislation, House Bill 2016, states it declares an emergency. And so we named the conference State of Emergency so that we can alarm the community to the issue and we can all collaborate to handle the issue. So, yeah.
Excellent. And so this conference is going to be this next weekend.
Right.
And who all are you hoping to attract to the conference? Is this for any community members? Is it for specific community members? Who should be showing up next Saturday?
Well, we would love for everyone to go, but of course, the reality of it is that we have a specific capacity. So the target audience are the parents of African-American students. And we're trying to reach out. I have different key individuals in the different schools that we work in, trying to send emails and contact home and phone calls home to the parents of African-American students and invite them out to this conference so that we can have them build infrastructure for the African-American community so we can collaborate to change the outcomes that we're seeing statistically in the schools. So primarily the parents. Secondarily, they're educators, preferably newer educators, because I want the people that are hitting the ground to get this information going into the classroom and start making changes there. Those who have been more seasoned in the game, those educators, they're also welcome. But I really want the newer people coming in, the new blood coming in to add this to their repertoire so that it's a more organic transformation. And then, of course, the students. We want the students there. Because we have a lot of different opportunities for them as far as tabling and workshops and all that kind of stuff. So,
and so if I were a parent and I had a student who identified as African American, but I do not myself, as you know, many people are in, you know, mixed relationships or with adoptions, foster care.
Right.
If I do not identify as African American, can I still come if my student does?
Please come. This is for you as well. That's why I specifically stated as parents of African-American students. Here in the Northwest, we have a very unique situation where most of our African-American population do come from interracial relationships, or there's a lot of children in the foster care system, specifically in the Northwest. The Northwest, historically, is predominantly Caucasian, white, and so most of the African-American community, if they started out African-American like my family, the Reynolds family came here in the 40s, and I have numerous cousins in my generation that their mother is white, their mother is Filipino, their mother is, you know, Latina. And so I have a very mixed family, and the African-American community still is identified that way by society, regardless of how you self-identify. And you're still part of the infrastructure we're trying to build and the education we're trying to provide to those parents so they can properly support their students in the obstacles that they're going to experience, even if the parents themselves haven't experienced those obstacles.
And even I would say, too, thinking we were just talking about generations,
right,
how quickly we kind of move from one to the other. I would say that a lot of obstacles are also changing, too,
right,
within, racism and oppression looks really different now than it did 50 years ago, than it did 20 years ago.
Right.
And so looking at, obstacles that students face now, some of them are definitely still the same. But then we also have new and interesting obstacles that our students face.
Yeah. And with each generation, it seems like the evolution of things happens no matter what it is. Racism evolves as well. So the sophistication in which that it's still the same spirit behind it, which is separation and division and divide and conquer type thing, essentially. But the way that it's packaged and the way that it operates can change with the times. So we have to be savvy about how we approach it.
And which is exactly what we're talking about. And so this will be this Saturday. And what are some of the aspects of the conference if I'm a parent thinking about going, or an educator, school counselor, anybody who's working with youth, and I'm thinking, should I go to this? What am I going to get out of it? What are some of the themes? What are, will it be workshops? Who's going to be speaking? Can you tell us a little bit more about what will we see this upcoming weekend?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about that aspect. We got a dynamite lineup, as it were. Our keynote speaker is Joyce Harris from ODE, and she's been active in education and in the African American community in Portland and other places since she was very young. She's still, I'm sure, very young, but I recall her telling me a story about how she started a school when she was 19 in the African-American community in Portland. Now, she might only be a couple years older than 19 now. I'm not at, at liberty to say. But she's very seasoned in the work. She also wrote quite a bit of the percentage of the language that's in House Bill 2016. So she's going to talk about House Bill 2016 and kind of unpack that for the parents and the community at large. And go into that. Then we have a whole host of breakout sessions, workshops from all over the map. We got a lot of different specialists involved. We got representation from the U of O and LCC in the form of the Black Student Task Force members, BSU, BMA, BWA, same with LCC. Some of their BSU members are also going to be participating. We have community therapists. We have different people from ODE, different counselors from LCC, and it just a lot of different opportunities for you to see the different ways that the community is affected, and for us to strategize together as our acumen together, our communal acumen on the subject rises. We can then collaborate and address the issue. Because the thing is that the statistical outcomes in the schools are really just a reflection of society. And so it's a societal issue. And to keep it compartmentalized only in the schools is pretty much bad strategy. Yeah,
it's not going
to
work.
It's not going to work out, right? So it's we have to address this thing from a lot of different angles. I often have this conversation where we speak about the wealth gap and how African Americans are the bottom earners, demographically speaking, in the nation, and have been for a very long time, even though there's been fluctuation. And so the average white home has around $11,000 in liquid assets, whereas the average black home in the nation has about $8.
And there's a reason for that. There's a history of housing practices.
Absolutely.
You know, for folks who are unfamiliar, a great term to look up would be the possessive investment in whiteness, and looking at housing practices of keeping, you know, that intergenerational wealth within white communities and how this has made that happen.
Right.
And it's like, as you say, if we don't talk about, you know, what are the different ways we can support students? It's not just in the schools. It's for a sundown state like Oregon, we got to acknowledge our history and also look at, you know, what is that impact that we're seeing today, and how can we move forward?
Absolutely.
And so this conference is a place to do that, and that'll be starting around what time and where does it take place?
So it's at Lane Communities Center for Meeting and Learning, and it's going to take place at 10 in the morning. It's going to go till 2:30. We have a full day, essentially three different sessions for breakout sessions. We have the keynote speaker. It's catered. It doesn't cost anything for you to be there. We have a whole lot of different community organizations tabling there as well for you to mingle with. More likely we'll have a passport so that you go to each table and get a stamp saying that you met with whichever community organization. We're going to have a raffle and gifts for students. We're just trying to have a lot of good time. We're hoping to have action teams come out of the conference so that going forward we have an agenda and a vision and we have collaboration in the community. So we really are trying to achieve something with this conference. It's not just a place to casually meet and maybe learn something. There really is an agenda. This is a state of emergency. So we really have to be action-oriented after we receive the education and start to know each other better as a community.
And do that together, it sounds. So if folks need to come late, or you know, if you have soccer games in the morning that you're going to, can you come later in the day? Or
well, I would say yes, but the thing is that we have a limited amount of space. So you have to RSVP, and there's a link that's emailed to the families. As the schools contact them, that's on our flyer, on our PDF, on our flyer. You can just cut and paste the link and then, apply to be there. And there's only 200 spots. And I believe that in actuality, at this moment, there's only 120 spots left.
And so if folks are listening right now and want to RSVP, can we get that link real quick?
Absolutely. The link is lesd.link. / FFB16. And so that's the a slash, not a backslash, right? Am I saying that right?
I think so. And if folks wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way? You know, if you can't make it this weekend, or if you have you know, community partners that want to be involved with the work that you do through your grant with Lane ESD, how can we get a hold of you?
Well, you can contact me at Lane ESD with my email address, jfloyd, that's JFLOYD at lesd.k12.or.us. Quite a mouthful. But yeah, that's how you get a hold of me specifically. Also, my partner on the grant, Leela Ross, and her email is lross, L-R-O-S-S, at lesd.k12.or.us. And we'll gladly interface with you and figure out, you know, how best we can all collaborate, galvanize our efforts, because we really got to think about the kids coming up and prioritize them, put our money where our mouth is, and make a stand against something that has proven to be not only it doesn't work, but it works too well in the wrong way. So, you know, we want people to feel comfortable, want to stay here. Often people of different nationalities, different ethnic backgrounds, different being not white, come here and then leave here because they can't find a place to put down roots. So the population has been growing. It just so happens that in Oregon, 40% of the students are children of color. So the need is even greater for Oregon to realize its part to play and get out front of things, and we need to collaborate.
Well, thank you so much for being here and for this up and providing this opportunity for folks to come together and have these difficult conversations.
Yeah.
So what a wonderful opportunity. Again, that will be this Saturday. And if you're interested, you'll want to sign up. And is the link available online as well?
If you go to the Lane ESD website, you probably could find it there.
So, perfect.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much again for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we wish you all the best on Saturday, and Absolutely. We'll have to get a report of how.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you come back and let us know.
You're definitely invited. You can go wherever. You get VIP status, so yeah, you should show up.